To quote an often seen Berkeley bumper sticker that was clearly made to describe the parables of Jesus. If you aren't outraged, you aren't paying attention. I tell you, friends, I've listened to these stories enough that at times it's almost as if I really don't hear them anymore. There are those days when I say, "Oh, mustard plants, how beautiful." Or, "Interesting, that's quite a lot of bread she's baking, how wonderful." And then, to my misfortune, I continue with the ordinary, the humdrum life as it always seems to be. You see, whether it's the space that we're in when we hear or read parables, or the familiarity that we may have with them, it is far too easy for these radical sayings to dull to the point in which it's hard to see our own lives reflected in them. When that happens, there is no treasure, old or new, and glimpses of the kingdom are few and far between. To that end, our gospel passage this morning offers us six images of what this kingdom of heaven is like. And for our time this morning, I'd like to spend some time thinking and praying through the first two of them, the mustard seed and the leaven. What I'm hoping to do is to remove some of the layers of tradition and mismatched language that obscure what lays beneath, and to allow these bizarre and subversive stories to breathe again and to offer us glimpses of what this kingdom of heaven just might be like here and now. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Ah, mustard, so delicious and so beautiful, the bright yellow flowers lining the vineyards of the Napa and Sonoma valleys. Except that this isn't the kind of mustard that we're talking about in this passage. The mustard plant that this parable extols as emblematic of the reign of heaven is a weed, really. Its seeds are the size of a grain of sand, something that could easily ride the wind or travel hidden in a sack of wheat waiting to be scattered. It infiltrates. It invades. It overruns. And when it grows, oh, does it grow. It doesn't stay about this tall. This kind of mustard seed grows and grows and grows. Okay, maybe not as big as trees, as in the redwood sense of the word tree, but it can grow to be 10 to 12 feet high. Birds' nests indeed. What had been neatly ordered rows of wheat has now been overtaken by a wild invader. The kingdom of heaven looks like this? What good, I wonder, is a 10-foot weed interrupting a carefully arranged field? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. First, some background. The amount of flour mentioned here, 3 measures, is a preposterous amount. We're talking about 50 pounds of flour. So at first glance, the story could seem simply about a small item, yeast, making the whole of the flour rise to its abundance. But this is one of the instances in which the newly revised standard version that we heard this morning does us a disservice. Because instead of the word yeast, The word that might be more applicable for our understanding would be leaven. And you might be saying, yeast, leaven, big difference, right? Well, yes. And it lies largely in our contemporary image of yeast. For me, what comes to mind are those convenient little packets, you know, Fleischmann's, right? That you buy in order for baked goods to rise, and it brings with it memories of warm dough rising in our laundry room. Not so much the case here. In fact, in the rest of Scripture, you cannot find a positive reference to leaven. The reason is that leaven was considered unclean, corrupted, because the way that you created leaven was that you took an old piece of bread and you left it in a dank, dark place until mold grew. It rotted, thereby allowing the yeast to grow. Now, if it wasn't left long enough in the dark, the yeast wouldn't grow enough, and your new bread was flat. Left too long, and the new bread was spoiled, and the results could be fatal. Remember, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven here. So what does this woman in our parable do with this unclean and dangerous leaven? Again, our translation does us no favors. According to the Greek, she does not mix it in, or in other translations, knead it in. The most accurate translation, as disturbing as it sounds, is that she hid it in the flour. Okay, we've got 50 pounds of flour. She takes this leaven and she hides it. There are other words to use if one were just covering it up, but the Greek word here, krypto, is often used to denote selfish reasons. For example, to prevent others from using the object or to keep it for oneself. So to recap, this woman takes something universally seen as evil or unclean, this leaven, and she hides it in a large and expensive amount of flour. It's almost an act of subversion. I mean, really, what kind of a kingdom takes something seen as unclean and uses that to change everything around it? It's challenges like these that make it easy to break a parable. That's one of the warnings that we give our children, right, when we tell parables in godly play. You have to be careful with parables because you can break them. Parables break because so often we can't believe what we're hearing, and so we attempt to make it fit what we want to hear, often by domesticating the wild, radical truths that have startled us. This is how leaven becomes yeast, and hiding becomes mixing. Don't get me wrong, I bumped up against these images all week long, especially the final ones for these parables many, many times, looking for a way in. I was stumped this week, examining a minute seed in one moment and then contemplating a large shrub with nesting birds in the middle of a field the next moment. How is the kingdom seen there? I couldn't see how hiding this unclean leaven in pounds and pounds of flour would bring anything close to joy. And then I stopped. And it opened. And I realized that for me right now, the kingdom is in the movement. It's in the unexpected, unanticipated, unpredictable, impossible to control, growing, and moving. Like the mustard seed and like the leaven, this kingdom is not linear. If the revolution will not be televised, as Gil Scott Heron once pronounced, the kingdom will not be orderly or strategically planned, or managed by the authorities, governmental or clerical or otherwise. You see, this reign of heaven is not just about a kingdom to come, and not just about the suffering of the present, but is about the movement that comes to life between them. And that is out of our control. Speaking possibly only for myself, I usually don't want to lose control. I don't want the mustard seed all in my carefully prepared and mapped out field. My field has order and predictability. I know what's where, and I don't need to think about it anymore. Frankly, I don't want something unclean and subversive working its way through what I already know to be good and true and holy. And yet, looking back through human history, isn't this how the great movements live and move and have their being? Isn't this how the long arcs of the moral universe finally bend toward justice? Time and time again, as one scholar has said, this kingdom of heaven is the story of something small and hidden that through an organic process becomes great. And that small and hidden thing, each and every time, friends, that small and hidden thing is something that this world reviles as unclean, derides as corrupt. Each small and hidden seed is always deemed insignificant and demonized as tainted. This, in fact, is the very sign that salvation is coming near. When the movements to end the abominations of slavery and then segregation began, it was no mistake that black people were considered by the powers that were to be unclean, less than human. Likewise, when the movements to end the discrimination and subjugation of women in this country began, women were seen by the powers that were to be impure and clearly less than men. And in our moment, in this time, how often are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered members of the body of Christ disparaged as immoral, demonized by the powers that soon will not be as disordered? Friends, this arc too will bend. This movement will prevail. Like Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Martin King, we may not all be able to walk in this promised land, but someday soon we will arrive. Already in Niagara Falls and Buffalo, Albany and Westbury this morning, there are glimpses of the kingdom of heaven, friends. It gets better. Really, it does. Friends, this kingdom of heaven is on the move right now, in ways as of yet that are too small to discern, in movements larger than armies can control, in all movements that point to the ends, to the arcs of wholeness, of justice, of righteousness extended to the weak, the powerless, the marginalized. And what may be most disturbing of all is that this kingdom of heaven has already infiltrated each one of us. In each of us, these things are hidden, these tiny seeds, this leaven in the flower. They are hidden, potent, waiting. This kingdom of heaven has come near.